A few weeks back, I had a lesson about the God of all comfort.
This evening, I want us to look at the statement in Philippians 4, the God of peace. I want to talk about peace of mind. Do you have peace of mind? Is your marriage at peace? Is your family at peace? Your personal life? How you go to school and how you go to work? I'm amazed at what the devil can use to get us to fall away from God. And he can use anxiety and stress and problems in one's life. I know of personal examples of Christians who have fallen away. And when you look at their situation, it's not a doctrinal issue. It's not something that they started believing that was error. It was not some maybe like sexual immorality. It was just all of the problems going on in their life mounted up to a point where they just quit. Do you have peace of mind? Do I have peace of mind? In Philippians chapter 4, there the Apostle Paul recognizes that a person can have anxiety and worry. And he gives a solution there with regard to praying to God. We're going to talk about that later in our lesson. And then he says that the God of peace can solve that. That's a beautiful thought. That would make a great series of lessons. The God of all the different things that God can do. And we looked at the God of comfort a few weeks back. I want to look at the God of peace tonight. Are you uptight? Are you stressful, tense, irritable, frustrated, in anguish, pain, despair? There are things that happen in our lives that where we're more at war than we are at peace. And this causes a lot of physical problems. We think about sleepless nights and other, maybe we might have stomach problems, intestinal problems, nervous problems, can't sleep. Sometimes there's emotional problems that go along with that, and then it bleeds over into our marriage and our family, and it causes issues. I'm not a mental health specialist. I'm not a medical doctor. I cannot diagnose these types of things from that standpoint. But I know God's Word. And I know that God wants to give us help in His Word to deal with these kinds of things. So this evening I want to talk about peace of mind. The Apostle Paul writes Philippians chapter 4. He's well acquainted with the matter of anxiety. Jesus speaks about it in Matthew chapter 6. The Bible does not ignore, God does not ignore mental health issues. The Bible is not just about the plan of salvation. The Bible is also about daily stresses and strains and how to deal with those things. And so I'd like to try to address that this evening from a practical standpoint. What can we do to help ourselves knowing that this is something that we all face from time to time? If you were to look out in the world, you would find that many people who are experiencing these types of things will turn to a number of different persons or a number of different things in order to try to help the situation. We know about road rage, for example. Here's a person trying to work with their stress driving. They might use their car to hurt somebody or yelling at somebody or obscene gestures or something along those lines. Different people face stress and irritation and being uptight in different ways. Who will you turn to or what will you turn to? Many people try to cope by turning to drugs, to alcohol, to sexual immorality. They're going to solve their stress by eating more. Some think that they're going to escape their stress, and that's a lot of times the drugs and the alcohol. I'll just try to get away from it, and then they realize that when they come down from the high or whatever they're seeking, that it's still there. Some will actually lash out by trying to attack it. And so here's a stressful thing in my life, and so I'm going to turn around and attack it with maybe foul language, or like we were talking about this morning, I might lash out and hurt somebody. And then some might just take the approach, and this is easy to do when there's a problem going on, I'm just going to outlast it. I'll just try to last longer than it lasts. And so if I can just get through this job interview, if I can just get through this semester at school, if I can just get through this test, if I can just get through this interview, it's kind of like here's a stressful thing and I'm just going to outlast it. And yet we find that when that one's over with, there's another one that comes along. So how are we to be at peace? We read in our Bibles about the God of peace. And what exactly is that? What are we talking about? That's what we want to look at this evening. I've known of cases in which the devil can use marriage problems and family problems and work problems to get somebody to fall away. And so we need to address it. We all have difficult decisions that we have to make from day to day. I hear you talking about your work and different things that go on at work, different problems that are going on at work. There's difficult decisions that have to be made in life. There's unresolved conflicts. And some of these are not something that we bring on ourselves. It's just people out in the world and the way that they're acting. And we're trying to act like a good Christian and they're not acting right. And so there are these conflicts. Sometimes just natural relationships between husband and wife and parents and children and other kinds of relationships. And sometimes a person will have a very serious physical disability. They might be going through cancer or something that's difficult and strenuous and stressful. So how do we face these things without allowing the devil to get us just simply to quit? What does the Bible teach us about handling the stress and the strain of life? How can we really be at peace? You know, when we talk about peace, we need to understand something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, when Paul was praying to God about his thorn in the flesh, this is some physical problem that he had, Jesus didn't take that away. He didn't take it away. Being at peace doesn't mean that we're living in a bubble somewhere where there's absolutely no stress or strain. That's not what it is. There's no place that we can go in life where there will be the absence of strife and trouble and problems. We can't go live in a bubble somewhere where it's completely removed. It'll still be there. And Christ chose to allow Paul to continue to have that. But what he gave him was the grace to make it through that. And so when we talk about peace tonight, we're not talking about the absence of strife or trouble. We're talking about the right attitude in the face of strife and trouble. The right heart, the right mind, the right disposition. The Bible nowhere says that we're going to get up one day and it's just all going to be completely removed. The only place I know of that is heaven. It'll be completely gone in heaven, but not in this life. So peace is not the absence of strife and trouble. Peace is having contentment and joy and a secure relationship with God in the face of that. It'll always be there. And we're going to see this evening that we might be able to do better at removing some of that in our life. But even if we do the best we can, there's always going to be people out in the world that are causing us strife and trouble, and there's nothing that we can do about that. It'll always be there. But what is the Christian mindset and attitude as we go through these things? That's what we want to look at this evening. We talk about peace of mind. And so this evening, I want to ask the question, what should be in our mind? To have peace of mind, what should our thoughts be each day? To have peace of mind, what should we be thinking about? What should we be meditating on? The Lord wants us to have peace of mind. The devil wants us to always be living in turmoil
and problems. I want to read with you a passage of Scripture in the life of Jesus. Now there was a herd of swine feeding on the mountain, and they entreated him that he would give them leave to enter into them. And he gave them leave. And the demons came out from the man and entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep into the lake and were drowned. And when they that fed them saw what had done, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had come to pass, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons were gone out, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus, and they were afraid. That's Luke's account of what we know as the healing of the Gadarene demonet. The devil wants turmoil and strife and trouble. Jesus wants us to be in our right mind. You remember this man? The text says that he couldn't live in town. He lived in the tombs. He was naked. Mark says that he was crying out night and day. The accounts say that no man could restrain him. This man's life was turned upside down with turmoil because of the devil. Jesus comes along and he's clothed, sitting, and in his right mind. That's what the Lord wants for us. The devil wants the chaos and the trouble and the stress and the trial to slowly break us down until we quit. Jesus wants us to be clothed, sitting, and in our right mind. So let's look this evening at some thoughts that I need to have in my mind, some scriptural principles so that I can have each day peace of mind. You hear our young people talk and the different kinds of stresses and strains that they go through in this 21st century environment that they're in. Sometimes they're going through things that we didn't go through as a child, but they have their set of issues. Adults have their set of issues. What needs to be in our mind so that we can have that peace that passes all understanding? Well, number one, the place to begin, turn with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse 17. I'm going to get up each day and I'm going to say, look, I'm going to be right with God. And if there's any sin in my life, I'm going to remove that right now. Because sin will keep us with the stress and the strain. When we have sin in our life, it naturally leads to the opposite of peace. We've committed a sin. It's there. It gnaws on us. Our conscience is bothering us. We're feeling guilty. We're walking around with that each and every day. That's the nature of sin. Paul, talking about those who have sinned, he talks about the Gentile world and then the Jewish world all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in chapter 3, verse 9, again, verse 9, he's talking about both Jews and Greeks. They're all under sin. And he gives some illustrations of these sinful individuals and different things that they're doing with their tongue and with their heart, verse 13, their mouth, verse 14. And then look at verse 17. And the way of peace have they not known. When there's sin in my life, there's not going to be peace. And so my first thought needs to be, I've got to remove that sin. I need to be like Paul in Acts 24 and verse 16. I need to have a clear conscience. And tonight, if that means coming forward and being baptized into Christ, do it. Or as an erring child of God, pray and repent. Have that sin removed. But if we always carry that around, we'll never have peace of mind. When there is sin in a person's life, verse 17, the way of peace have they not known. Somebody says, well, sin is fun. That's why I do it. Right, it is. But you know that you're carrying around that guilt. You can go out and party and have fun, and you can tell lies, and you can do all kinds of stuff. And while you're doing it, it's fun. But at night, and you put your head down, you're going, that's not right. You don't have to carry that around if you'll be forgiven. To have peace of mind, we need to get the sin out of our life. And then we can lay our head down at night with a confidence and assurance that we're right with God. And if He were to come
we would be ready to go with Him.
When there's sin in our life, the way of peace they have not known. Sin not only has that guilt, but it causes problems.
And that's what we're trying to remove from our life. The first thing that I would suggest this evening on the road to peace of mind is to remove any sin that would be in our life.
Along those lines, then, I need to come to Jesus. In the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, those great descriptions of Jesus there, those terms that are used, He's described as the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to give us peace by offering forgiveness of sins. And when we will come and obey Him, we can have that. You remember that wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I'm going to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. I'm going to be baptized into Christ, or as an erring child of God, I'm going to come back. Jesus is the way to peace of mind. I'm not going to turn to things. I'm not going to turn to worldly individuals. Do you remember when Jesus was born and the angels are glorifying God, Luke 2? And what is the statement that is made there in Luke chapter 2? Verse 10, the angel said, "Be not afraid, for we behold good tidings we bring to you, which shall be to all the people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then what do we find? That heavenly host in verses 13 and 14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom He is well pleased." Jesus brings peace. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. "When my sin is removed, my conscience is clean." Peter says that baptism is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, 1 Peter 3:21. It's the answer of a clean conscience. I can just have peace of mind. The load of sin is lifted off of me. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 1, "Being therefore justified by faith," that's an obedient faith, "we have peace with God." How? "Through our Lord Jesus Christ." I can never have that when I go to bed at night with sin in my life. I'll never have peace of mind. And so I need to come and obey. When Jesus died on the cross, He brought both the Jew and the Gentile together in one new man, and He made peace, Ephesians 2, 14 through 17. And other Bible passages relate peace with Jesus. How? Through forgiveness of sins. A lot of times in a marriage relationship, when there's unrest, there's some bad attitude there, some sin, some problem. We've got to remove that. Or between parents and children. And Jesus can help us do that. How did Jesus invite people around Him in Matthew 11, 28 and 29? "Come unto Me and I will give you" what? What? Not money. Not things. But I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls. Today it's all about things and what we own and money. And the very thing that can give us peace of mind, we are ignoring. So number one, I'm going to remove any sin that is in my life. And number two, I'm going to do that through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Another thing that comes to my mind with regard to having peace of mind is I'm going to let God's Word guide me today. Turn with me to Psalm 119. There are a number of passages of Scripture that are where peace is attributed to following God's Word. When I get up and I just simply follow my wisdom and man's wisdom, it causes problems. It causes irritations and stresses and strains. But when I follow God's Word, it will always guide me in the right way. Psalm 119 and verse 165. "Great peace have they that love Thy law, and they have no occasion of stumbling." Great peace have they that love Thy law. The church in Acts 9:31 had experienced peace when they were walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. There is peace when we produce the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. There's many passages where peace is attributed to Christ in His Word. In Colossians 3:15, the peace of Christ is to rule or arbitrate, and then let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's a few places in the times of the kings. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. There's a few places where in the lives of the kings, the text would say something along the lines of there was peace in the land or there was rest in the land. And notice who or what it is attributed to in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. For example, Asa reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And then jump down to verse 10. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land was quiet and had no war in those days because Jehovah had given him rest. When we follow God and His Word, there's going to be rest and peace in our life. When we just get up and do what we want or what the world wants, there's not going to be that. God's Word brings us quiet rest in our lives. We may not be able to control our work environment and school environment and other kinds of things, but we can have peace of mind. Our environment can have rest. Our home and family can have rest. But we've got to follow biblical principles. There's another example of this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You'll turn with me there in verse 30. 2 Chronicles 20, in the reign of Jehoshaphat. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. The good thing about our daily Bible reading, it's not just an academic exercise and something to do, but each time we read our Bible every day, it's going to give us principles by which to live the very next day. And when we do that, we're going to find peace in our life. But when we get up, and you see this out in the world, they're just winging it every day. They're just trying to wing it. They're just trying to do what they can do on the moment. They're trying to figure it out on the fly. They're following human wisdom. They're doing that which is right in their own eyes. We read about that in the book of Judges. Turn with me to James chapter 3. They're just trying to follow their own human wisdom, and they just get deeper and deeper into trouble. But if we'll follow the wisdom that is from above, James 3, verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That means I can come up to Daniel and I can approach him and talk with him. He's not going to bite my head off. Easy to be entreated. Somebody can come to you. But gentle, peaceable. Why? Because I'm following the wisdom that is from above. But if I'm following earthly wisdom, verse 14, 15, 16, it's just jealousy and faction and every vile deed and confusion. It's just trouble. So let's follow God's Word. I'm going to follow God's Word today. And God is going to bring peace and rest in my life. What is one of the pieces of armor in what we call the Christian armor? Ephesians 6, verse 15. What is that? You remember? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. How is the gospel described there? What are we supposed to put on our feet? Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of what? The gospel of peace. So I'm going to get up, and I'm going to make sure sin is removed from my life. And then I'm going to follow God's Word today. Another thing that we find in the Word of God that brings peace of mind is that I'm going to be a peaceable person myself. And we just read about this in James chapter 3. Sometimes the strife and the strain and the trial and the turmoil, frankly, I'm the one causing it. I'm just sort of a rough character and a troublemaker. And maybe the stress and strain in my life is the type of person that I am. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I need to be a peaceable person in order to have peace
of mine. I can't be the one that is stirring the pot, so to speak. In Romans chapter 12, and there are going to be difficult situations that come up, but in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, be at peace with all men. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. With regard to personal scruples and personal opinions, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then look at verse 19. Let us follow after things which make for peace. I need to be a peace-going person when I get up each day. And whenever situations come up with my spouse and my children and at work, I'm not going to be the one that's twisting it and turning the knife and poking it. I'm going to be the peacemaker. Isn't that what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the peacemakers. I'm going to get up today and be a peaceable person. I'm going to, as much as possible, Romans 12, as much as lies within us, I'm going to give it 100% to be that peaceable person, even when that other one is just being terrible. I'm going to pursue peace. I'm going to follow after things which make for peace. And there's so many passages that speak to me as a Christian. I need to be a peaceable person. Some of the stress and strain in my life may be caused by me. I'm the one stirring it up. And I could be a more peaceable person. So 1 Peter chapter 3, and then we'll move on. If we would love life and see good days, there's some things that we don't need to say, verse 10, but verse 11, let him seek peace and pursue it. I need to be a peaceable person. Have you ever been around those, and including brethren? They're just... It's almost as if everything in their conversation is to try to get something, to stir up something. I'm not talking about doctrinal matters. I'm talking about just conversation. We may have family members like that, just always trying to stir the pot. Always trying to make a jab. Always trying to harping unjustified criticisms. Something that's just always nagging. If I would love life and see good days, I need to be the kind of person that seeks peace and pursues it. That's what I'm going to go after today. I'm not going to get up looking for a fight, looking to pick a fight. And with that attitude, that will help me to have peace of mind. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here's another thing. If I'm an orderly person, the more orderly I am in my personal life, the more peace of mind that I have. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You know how that if we're unorganized and we're scatterbrained, all that sometimes, all it does is just bring more stress and strain. And so I'm unorganized and I get up late and I don't know where this is and I'm running late and now I'm stressed out in traffic and then I show up at work all exhausted and I haven't even started work and this and that. It could be that I need to be a little bit more orderly in my life. Order brings peace. Disorder brings trouble and trial. In a completely different context than what we're studying this evening, but I believe the application is there, Paul is talking about how that God wants order in the assembly, and so the tongue speakers and the prophets were to take turns and so forth. But there's an indirect lesson that is made here, and that is that when there's order, there's peace. And so the spirits, verse 32, of the prophets are subject to the prophets. They need to take turns. There needs to be order. Why? For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And so orderliness, verses 30, 31, 32, proper order, it brings the peace that God wants in the local assembly. And it would do that for us in our personal lives. So a few suggestions. If there's something important to do, do it right now. If we put it off and put it off, that causes more stress and strain later. It just piles up. Do it right now. Number two, delegate. A lot of times we bring troubles and trials on ourselves because we're trying to do it all ourselves. You remember in Exodus chapter 18, Moses' father-in-law? What did Moses' father-in-law suggest to Moses? You need to get some judges to help you. You're trying to do this all yourself. And he said, it is not good. Get some people to help you. Delegate. Clear out the clutter. A lot of times there are things in our lives that shouldn't be there, and that's causing the stress and the strain. Set priorities. God is always first. Always. Then my spouse, and then the kids. I was reading some material in preparation for this lesson about the modern family and how they're all stressed out and strained and problems and breakdowns and all of these kinds of things that are going on. And these are families out in the world. They weren't necessarily religious families. And they're discussing why there's all these stresses and strains and problems and battles. And the common denominator among all of them was that the parents were putting the kids first. The kids' activities, take them there. We've got school, we've got hobbies, we've got sports, we've got what they need, and we've got to buy them this, and we've got to take them over here. And all of this stuff, the kids were first, and it's just a complete chaos and turmoil. Now, kids, we love you. We love you. We want what's best for you. But we've got to prioritize, and it's always God first, and then our marriage, and we'll take care of our kids. But what was happening was, with all of the running around to put the kids first, there was this constant battle and trouble and trial and families breaking apart and breaking down. So I threw that in there. That is a real situation that is going on in the world. Orderly, orderly. As much as possible in every aspect of my life. Clean bathroom, bed made up, room clean, garage clean, workbench clean. Then that gets into other areas of my life where I'm orderly, and that brings peace. But if it's just a war zone, then often it is bringing that stress and that strain. I want to be as orderly as I can. And of course, spiritual orderliness is at the top of the list. Let's look at something else. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. I'm going to get up each day and I'm just simply going to strive to live a quiet life. We all have to work. But I'm going to go to work. I'm going to care for my own work, my own business. And I'm not going to be bothered by other people's concerns. A lot of times stress and strain is brought on because we're just simply too bothered by things that aren't even that are not of our own work, our own nature. And there's a word here that I wanted to look at. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11. That you study, literally, to be ambitious. Let this be your goal. To be quiet. Here's a word that is helping. How can I have a quiet life today? A peace of mind. To do your own business and to work with your own hands, even as we charged you, that you may walk becomingly toward them that are without and may have need of nothing. This phrase, to do your own business and to work with your own hands, comes from a Greek word that literally means not running around bothered by other people's concerns. I'm just going to get up. I'm going to do my work. I'm going to live a quiet life. I'm not going to solve the world's problems. There's all kinds of other things going on. As I have an opportunity to share the Word of God with somebody else and help them, I'm going to do that. But there's many things in life that are not our business. And we just bring on needless trouble and trial. And notice in verse 11 that to have a quiet life, the answer is just do your own business. And there'll two outcomes. Number one, verse 12, people around you, you'll be a good example on them. They'll see you, those that are without, and you'll have need of nothing. You'll take care of your family. Don't invite trouble, in other words. Don't be going around bothered by other people's concerns. And that's often easy to do. And then, our scripture reading. I want to get up each day and when I do have these things that I'm facing, I'm going to go to God in prayer with that. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We already looked at Philippians chapter 4. Do we go to God in prayer? One of my favorite songs in the songbook. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? One of the first things we do with stress and strain, and I can relate to this, it might be complaining. Or it might be, maybe the first thing needs to be prayer. Notice Peter doesn't say, you'll never have anxiety or troubles or trials. He doesn't say that. He says, when you have them, cast those on God, casting all your anxiety upon Him because He careth for you. There will be those things in life. Let's go to God in prayer with that. And I believe God answers prayer, and He'll give us that peace of mind when we do that very thing. This is important in a very hectic world that we live in. Turn back with me to Philippians chapter 4. Much of our lack of peace is due to the rat race. It really is. It's just really due to the American way of life, chasing the American dream where you have to buy more things, own more things, have more things. And let's face it, we live in a very materialistic world, and the commercials and the music and the TV programs are constantly pushing us to have more, buy more. And notice Paul's rule of life. Not that I speak in respect of want, verse 10. For I have learned in whatever state I am, therein to be content. I'm simply content with what I need, not what I want, but what I need in life to go to heaven. I need food, shelter, and clothing. I need to be a Christian. But beyond that, much of what we're chasing after, we don't need it. And yet that's the very thing that is causing the arguments in the marriage or in the family or in our personal lives. Things that we don't need. I know how to be abased, that is, not have much. I know how to abound in everything and in all things. I have learned the secret, and maybe we haven't learned the secret, but Paul is telling us what it is. Both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in want, I can do all things in Him that strengthens me. Contentment, being a faithful Christian, that's it. But above and beyond that, we're chasing a lot of things, I believe, and I can be just as guilty of it, that brings the stress and the strain, and we can't have that peace of mind. Paul had troubles and trials, but he got up each day, I'm just content with being a faithful Christian, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because of the materialistic world that we live in, we need to be reminded of that very thing. Let's just simply get up each day and take care of our just basic physical and spiritual needs and let the rest go. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. There's a word here that is interesting. I'm going to remove any needless commotion and disturbance in my life. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, one of the things that we're to pray for, we're to pray that our leadership, kings and rulers, those in high place, verse 2, pray for them, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness. I didn't want to just look at the word peace in the New Testament. There's other words like quiet and tranquil. That we would live a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity or seriousness. The word tranquil means literally that which has needless commotion and disturbance removed. And it really goes back to some of the other things that we've been saying with regard to going after material things and all of the stuff that we pile on during the week. Is that really necessary to be a faithful Christian and go to heaven? If it's not, let's mark it off the list. I believe a lot of that is causing the stress and the strain. Can we remove that? There are going to be things in life that we can't remove. There's going to be people at work that you're not going to be able to fix that, and at school and other places. But as much as we can, if we can remove this and that that is causing the problems, do that. That's what tranquility is here. And let's pray that God would help us to remove those things.
And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, I'm going to say no and rest more. We live in a world where because we want to own more, we have to work more. Because we want to put more on the credit card, we have to work more to pay off the credit card. And we're just constantly going. And we're stressed out and we're strained. And you'll hear people talk about how that work is one of their major problems in their life. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, after the 12 apostles had Jesus had sent them out to preach, the text says there, he said to them, "Come apart and let's rest for a while." We need to say no more to some things. And that would help us to have the peace of mind. Say no. Say no to all of this rat race. That's what the world wants. They don't have God, so they might as well just work all the time. They don't have God. They don't have a church service to go to. It's just work and stress. We don't have to be like that. Do you remember in the Old Testament, we're very familiar with one of the Ten Commandments about resting, where God, because of the creation, He rested on the seventh day. And then in Exodus chapter 20, one of the Ten Commandments is, work 6 days and rest on the seventh day. Remember that? We're very familiar with that. But turn with me to Exodus 34 and verse 21 and notice what is added at the end of that verse. This is interesting. A lot of times, with regard to work, what we'll do is we'll say, because of a special time of the year, we know that this heavy duty thing is on us at a special time of the year. And so we just have to keep working. I find it interesting that God knows about this. He knows that there's special times of the year. And He says that even during these special times of the year that are more stressful than others, you still have to rest. What's interesting about Exodus 34:21 is that it's the same statement about work 6 days and rest, but there's this added statement. Look at it. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. That's the same as what has been mentioned before. But this is the part that's different. In plowing time and in harvest, the two busiest times of the year, you shall rest. Yep. God knows that even those busy times, you still have to follow the rest rule. You got to say no. But it's plowing time and there's fields that have to be plowed. I got to get the... You still have to rest. And when all the crops are coming in, I got to be out there all day long. You'll see this a lot in Montgomery County and Robertson County. The two busiest times of the year for farmers. What are they doing on Sunday morning? Well, in the spring, we're plowing. We can't go to church. We're plowing. And, you know, when the crops start coming in, we can't go to church. We got to be out there harvesting. And we do that. At busy times, we forget to say no and rest. And God is reminding them that even in those times, you need to do that. I hope that this has helped us this evening. The devil can use this very matter to get at us. Be right. And if that means starting this evening, just coming forward and being baptized, get rid of that sin. You get to go to bed tonight and you pillow your head with zero sin in your life. Wouldn't that be great? You can wash it away right now in baptism. Be forgiven. The Prince of Peace will forgive you. Let's get up each day and be guided by God's Word. And if we're the type of person where we need to work on our own peaceable disposition, be a little sweeter and a little nicer, let's do that. Do we need to be orderly? Is our life a chaos or are we orderly? Orderliness brings peace. This word quietness in 1 Thessalonians 4, we're not out running around with other people's business. We're just going to take care of our own things that God wants us to take care of.
when we do have the stresses and strains, we're going to take that to God. Contentment with the basic things of life, not being caught up in that stressful rat race that is found in the world around us, the chaos that is in the world around us. We're just going to be content, tranquil, removing any needless stress and strain, and restful. Say no. Say no. So that you can have a mind that is focused on God. The world doesn't care. It's just about working and making money. They don't care about God. They don't care about taking a break. But we're different. And we're going to have that peace that God wants for us. Now, we need to do our part. And when we do these things that we've talked about tonight, Paul says, I love 2 Thessalonians 3:16. The Lord of peace will give you peace at all times and in all ways. That's quite a promise. If we'll do our part, He'll be there to do His part. We're going to stand and sing a song of invitation, I Surrender All. That'll be the best way to have peace tonight. Just surrender your life to Christ and come and put Him on in baptism. I see in the world around us how the devil uses the tenseness of tightness, stress, irritability, frustration, anguish, despair, pain. He's using that to just break up people right and left. But we're going to let the God of peace give us that peace that passes all understanding. We're going to take these practical steps that we talked about tonight to put God first in our lives. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?